You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jason Ross, back here again. And today we ask the question, can the Kings become a super team? We'll address that. Also some stuff on Darren Collison, all coming up on today's podcast, which again, you can find daily content for free. Listen to it when you want. Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, and subscribe if you would. And get it for yourself on iTunes. Leave us ratings and reviews if you get an opportunity to do so. So let's jump into it and ask that first question. Can the Sacramento Kings be a super team? Seems like a crazy question right off the top, doesn't it? I mean, you're thinking about super teams around the NBA. Certainly, you think about the Cavs, you think about the Warriors, maybe the 20-year longevity of just studness from the San Antonio Spurs. But ESPN has asked that question. This was one of the articles that was out while I was gone and on my vacation. But Tom Haberstroh from ESPN, a longtime NBA writer, kind of asked that question. Next NBA super team. And there are 9 teams to watch. They've got different categories on how teams can ultimately become a super team and maybe which model they would have followed, whether it was the Heatles or some of the, you know, the Celtics model where they used a bunch of trades to get that 08 super team. The last model they talk about is the 2014 Warriors model, which is build through the draft. Of course, before they got Kevin Durant, they did draft Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. Then they added pieces like Andrew Bogut and Andre Iguodala, and then they became a great team. So the team they say that could be the next 2014 Warriors, the Denver Nuggets. They have quietly built an offensive machine in Denver after Nikola Jokic was put in the starting lineup. The Nuggets own the NBA's best offensive rating for the rest of the season. Of course, they have added Paul Millsap. They've got guys like Jamal Murray, who they drafted, Gary Harris, Kenneth Faried. All those guys were drafted, adding Millsap. They think this is a team that could really grow, though I don't agree with that. I told you the other day, I'm not as high on Denver as everyone else. I do like the team. I just don't love the team that I think a lot of people are starting to love. Runner-up, they list the Milwaukee Bucks. Of course, they drafted Thon Maker, Malcolm Brogdon, Jabari Parker, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Chris Middleton, they brought in after his rookie season in Detroit, added people like Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson, Mirza Teletovic, and we'll see if they can become that team that grows into a power. Lastly, the dark horse, your Sacramento Kings. How about that? It says, look, we can't believe we're mentioning Sacramento and Golden State in the same breath either, but the young core in Sacramento is tantalizing. Youngsters De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, Scalabissier, Justin Jackson, and Harry Giles represent a sky-high ceiling in Sacramento. With George Hill, Zach Randolph, and Vince Carter presenting some much-needed veteran infrastructure, the kids could bring trouble to the rest of the NBA in a few years. We're a long ways away from seeing if the Kings have something that resembles a playoff team, but the seeds have been planted. Look for the Kings to pounce in 2019 free agency with as much as $55 million in cap space with 9 players under contract, all first or second round picks. If they hit a couple of home runs in the draft and manage the cap shrewdly, could they steal Klay Thompson in 2019? We like what's brewing up the coast in Sacramento. So comparing them to the Warriors of 2014. Very, very interesting. Again, dark horse feels right because there's a long way to go. This is a team that's been without the playoffs for over a decade. But where they're spot on is something I've been talking about. Between De'Aaron, Buddy, as they mentioned, Willie, Scal, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, something there has to become a stud to make it happen, right? You look at Draymond, Klay, and Steph. Well, all three became an all-star. If you've got 3 of these guys becoming all-stars, this Kings team will become great. Well, a long way to go. No one's close to an all-star yet, but neither were those guys at the beginning of their career either. So it's going to take some time for those young players to develop. You just can't miss on a lot of them. Hopefully more hits than misses. And if you think about just this past decade plus for the Kings, think about draft picks where they had Spencer Hawes, Jason Thompson, guys that had NBA careers, Tyreke Evans. But DeMarcus Cousins was the one that developed and became an all-star. So they didn't hit on everything, but some of them worked. And so you've got to find the pieces that become more stud than, you know, Jimmer Fredette or things that didn't work out or guys that are, you know, Quincy Doobie over the years. So you want to find the guys that connect, can make rotations, can be in your starting lineup, can grow, could be become a potential all-star. So the other part that I like about the little piece in the article was that the Kings having all that cap space in 2019, could they be a big player? And you hope by 2019 they're closer to a playoff team, that these young guys have developed, and then maybe they would be able to pounce on some of those veterans. So that's the ideal situation, and hopefully that's something that will materialize. And if that does, these are guys you're going to want to watch. And how are you going to watch them? Likely through SeatGeek. That's the best way to do it. Buying tickets to sports and concerts, it can be tough. But there is a better way, a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just a couple of taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's all fully guaranteed. So there's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or group, musician, whatever, in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for the great value that you want. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, as it saves you time, it saves you money, by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find you the best deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value, and that helps you immediately identify the best seats that will fit inside your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts and comedy and theater. It's all there for you at SeatGeek. So best of all of you out there that listen, all you regulars, get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code L-O-N-B-A. That's L-O-N-B-A. Promo code L-O-N-B-A for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, now let's talk a little bit about another story that you can find on KHDK.com. That's with Matt George from KHDK. He's on the drive. He's also on the weekends on KHDK, a reporter for Sports 1140. So, Matt, you had a chance to talk to, I guess, now ex-King Darren Collison. Did a nice article there on KHDK.com. What was your – let's start with your biggest takeaway from what you learned in your conversation with Darren Collison.
Well, Darren's always a great person to talk to. He's always very open, very humble. One of my favorites to talk to when he was here in Sacramento. One of the things that really drew my attention was how sincere he was in wanting to return to Sacramento. He told me on multiple times, without me really poking and prodding, that Sacramento was his number one destination. He was working to try to make it happen so that he could return and be part of this youth movement, which was interesting because I was talking to him earlier in the season and he was really weighing the options of whether he wanted to stay and be a part of the youth movement or if he wanted to go and spend maybe the last major contract of his career playing for a potential contender. He's in Indiana now, so that team expects to compete. So he's certainly happy about that, but he told me over and over again repeatedly that the Kings were his first choice, and he wanted to be here in Sacramento. Unfortunately, the Kings gave him zero offers or failed to contact him. They had their own direction. He respected that, and no bitterness towards the Kings, but he's happy to be in Indiana.
I'm a little surprised about the last part. Why, I mean, all we can do is speculate, but why do you think the Kings took that approach? I think they liked Collison while he was here, don't you?
I think so. I think they were infatuated with other options. I mean, you look at George Hill, and you can certainly make the argument that Hill is an all-around better point guard. Darren Collison is absolutely a scoring-first guard, someone who maybe they weren't looking to be that leader for their guy in De'Aaron Fox, who they're looking to probably be a scoring guard, but also a very more well-rounded guard, which I think George Hill is. But it is surprising that the Kings wouldn't go and get – they probably could have gotten Collison on a cheaper deal than what they got George Hill for, but I also know Collison was looking for a longer contract. Maybe that was one of the reasons why the Kings weren't so willing to make him an offer. Also, the Kings kind of knew what they had. They knew their best-case scenario with Darren, and evidently – over the last 3 years that he's been here, they were pleased with what he brought, but they wanted to go in a different direction.
I know in the article, too, he also addresses how difficult it was. Not the losing, per se, but, well, partly losing, partly the arena, the future, Cousins, ownership, change. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff that changed. How much do you think that was weighing on him and other players while they were here?
He reiterated, and I didn't fit this into the story, but I got a great quote from him as well about how at first, it really bothered him, especially when he was younger. In his first year and a half, when he was in the Kings organization, he was hearing all this stuff coming out. This was after the Mike Malone firing, about in the change of GMs, Pete D'Alessandro not knowing what he's doing, and then the trade of Isaiah Thomas, and then Vlade comes in, and Vlade doesn't know what he's doing. Vivek isn't fit to be an owner. He's hearing all of this stuff going through. I think he had four coaches in his time with Sacramento, and he's hearing all this, and because you can't ignore it now with how social media is and any player player can just go on ESPN, and the Kings have been low-hanging fruit for ESPN and a lot of the national media. And he took that personally and took that to heart. But as he got older, he said that it became easier just to ignore it and focus on what was really important, which was playing on the court. And he said that it was the Sacramento Kings fan base that made it worthwhile, not just for him, but for the players as well, because no matter how much turmoil or negativity surrounded the organization from an outside perspective, in the Golden 1 Center every night, there were solid crowds, good support, and he was getting the love he felt that he and the team deserved and needed from that fan base.
Do you think he would have been okay? They had already drafted the 2 point guards in Fox and Mason. You said he wanted to be back, or at least would have entertained an offer. Would he have been okay with maybe backing up or being the mentor? Was he going to be fine with that role?
He was more than okay with it, from what I gathered. He told me, and one thing that stuck out, he also had an interview with The Drive before he made his decision to go to Indiana, and he said the same thing on there that he told me, was that he feels that if he didn't respect the game as much as he should respect the game as a veteran, he wouldn't be willing to teach and share what he knows. He brought up Chris Paul. Chris Paul spent a lot of time with him in L.A., and Chris Paul shared a lot of his wisdom. And De'Aaron felt that he needed to or wanted to spread that and share that with whoever the Kings brought in. I mentioned De'Aaron Fox, and he said it didn't matter who the Kings brought in. He was going to be willing to help and teach and be a mentor for whatever rookie guards or even big men, small forwards, didn't matter. De'Aaron was willing to be that leader. I think that was something that he would have taken a lot of pride in and almost seen his legacy continue through the play of a De'Aaron Fox rather than see his legacy maybe blossom in a playoff run.
We heard a lot last year when they made the big trade of DeMarcus, final 25 games, but they were a game and a half out when they made the trade.
Yeah.
How did he wrap his head around that?
Initially, he was not a happy camper. He said that it was a complete 180 shell shock move from where they were going, because Dave Yeager, the entire roster, the entire locker room was operating when they were entering the season under the assumption that the goal was to make the playoffs at whatever cost. And that was it. No matter how they got there, even if they got to the eighth seed and got swept by the Warriors or got their butts kicked, as long as they got to play two playoff games in the brand new Golden 1 Center and take that step forward and end that long playoff drought in Sacramento, he was definitely going to be happy. So initially, that bothered him and bothered a lot of the locker room, because they felt like they were right there. They were so close. They were performing. They were competing in every game. They certainly weren't good enough to be able to compete with the Spurs or the Warriors or the Rockets or the high-ups in the West.
Right.
But they were there amongst a very, very heated battle between three, four teams for that eighth spot. And even you could make the argument that they had a chance at the seventh spot as well if they had caught fire, which is what they were hoping to do after the All-Star break. However, he did have a conversation with Vlade not long after the trade happened. I don't know if Vlade sat down with all of them individually, but De'Aaron did get mm-hmm. the chance to speak one-on-one with Vlade. And he told me that Vlade explained what they were trying to do and how Vlade might want him to be a part of it, at least for the remainder of that season. And De'Aaron was on board from that point.
I know now he's a Pacer, so he's going to move on. He'll probably be excited when he does come back for the first time. But does he think this is a good plan for the Kings, what they're doing? Or did he share that with you?
He likes it. One thing he said that I think shows a lot of his character is that even when the Kings went in a different direction, traded away DeMarcus Cousins, and went for this youth movement, he said that the young guys that are currently on this roster, and this was before drafting Fox and the rookies we have now, he said that the Willie Cauley-Steins, the Scal Labissieres, the Buddy Hields, those guys deserve to have a rebuild around them the right way. So I would say he's more than supportive of what the Kings are doing, more than supportive of these guys. There's not too many left from he really hasn't had that consistent of a roster.
True.
So he can't say that when he returns to Sacramento, he's going to be playing against a bunch of his friends. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is the longest tenured one now, 3 years, and that's his biggest teammate, I suppose you could say, and then maybe Kosta Koufos. Other than that, everybody's kind of spread out. So he doesn't really have that much of an emotional attachment, but he likes what the Kings are doing. He likes the pieces that are there, and he told me he enjoyed playing alongside them and thinks they have a very bright future.
All right, last thing, and I don't know if he's ever shared this, but I've always felt this about him. I always hear, like, Well, he's probably not a starting point guard, or he'd be your best. He's the one of the better backups. He probably hears that too. Do you think that bothers him?
It was another thing I asked, and again, he told me at first it did, but now in the long term it doesn't. He was not shying away from saying, you know, the people that say that usually don't know what they're talking about, and it's just something they hear from one voice maybe on a national scale, and they just reiterate it and reiterate it because they don't know how to form their own opinions. But Darren, one thing he pointed out was when he was a backup in L.A. and he had a strong final season with the Clippers, people were saying, oh, he's good enough to be a starting point guard. He was coming off the bench behind Chris Paul, but he's good enough to be a starting point guard on his own team. He goes to the Kings aren't winning, and suddenly he's not good enough to be a starting point guard anymore. So he understands that winning changes the narrative completely, and I think that's why he's excited about the opportunity in Indiana, because with the exit of Paul George, he's got Victor Oladipo there and other pieces that he likes, but he has a real opportunity to be a leader there and get a chance to play playoff basketball where once again he can prove, hey, he's good enough to be a starting point guard in this league, and I absolutely believe he is.
Well, we encourage everybody to check it out at khdk.com. Matt, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, Jason. This is fun.
Well, that was Matt George from KHTK. Check out his article on khdk.com, his conversation with Darren Collison. Some good insight on kind of where he was on this, hoping to be a King, but will not be a King. He's going to be a Pacer, and now the Kings are going forward with George Hill, Frank Mason, and De'Aaron Fox. But again, thanks to Matt George for joining us. Thank you for listening as well. Each and every day, Monday through Friday, daily content on Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, and also, of course, on iTunes. Subscribe there, and it'll just be waiting for you. So thanks again for listening. Back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.